At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Washington Post headline is stark. Ukraine launches counteroffensive against Russia. Subhead, NATO-trained units will serve as the tip of the spear in counteroffensive. Subhead, Britain's defense ministry said in its update, heavy fighting continues along multiple sectors. I welcome Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, who's been following this story very carefully for years. But right now, the counteroffensive, what we've been presenting as if and when and why, is upon us, according to the Washington Post, and the Ministry of Defense in London is a source of much very accurate information, we suppose, in the fog of war. Anatole, a very good day to you. Your first thoughts now that we have the counteroffensive announced, what is the best case scenario given the violence that we can now assume is ongoing? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I would say that the best case scenario for Ukraine and the West and the world in general is something that the Biden administration previously said was its goal, which was that Ukraine should break through, should retake as much as possible of the land that it has lost since the Russian invasion last year, should be in a position to threaten Crimea, and that this would then force Russia to the negotiating table to make a deal, or at least agree to a ceasefire favorable to Ukraine. That is to say, because Russia will under no circumstances surrender Crimea, or eastern Donbass is a little more complicated. But that would presumably involve Russia withdrawing from all the territory it has taken since last year, but holding on to Crimea at least. And last year, there were leaks from the Biden administration saying that this was America's goal. There's a problem here, however, which is that not only has the Ukrainian government repeatedly said that it will not accept any deal, even a provisional deal, leaving any Ukrainian territory in Russian hands. But more recently, some of the Biden administration, notably Secretary of State Blinken in Helsinki last week, have also said that they oppose a ceasefire, leaving any territory in Russian hands. Well, at that point, if the Ukrainians succeed and do seem to be in a position to attack Crimea or do attack Crimea, then I think that we almost certainly will see radical Russian escalation, because it's not just that the loss of Crimea would, I think, undoubtedly bring down the Putin regime, but it would effectively mark the end of Russia as a great power. And the Russian establishment, and I have to say, the great majority of ordinary Russians are determined to prevent that. So that would be a very dangerous moment if that happened. But, hopefully the Ukrainians and the US would settle for a ceasefire, which would, after all, mark the complete defeat of, the Russian invasion since last year. Although it would not recover everything lost by Ukraine since 2014.
Would a ceasefire at this point be the best case scenario for Russia?
You won't see a ceasefire at this point. I don't think that there is any chance of serious moves towards a ceasefire until the results of the Ukrainian offensive are known, because obviously the Ukrainians won't agree to a ceasefire as long as they think they have a chance of making significant gains. And Russia obviously is hoping that it will be able to defeat the Ukrainian offensive and then perhaps offer a ceasefire on better terms. There was one indication over the weekend of possible Russian thinking, which is that a leading Kremlin propagandist, Margarita Simonyan of Russia Today, who undoubtedly has acted as a de facto spokeswoman for the Kremlin, she said on television that Russia should accept the latest Indonesian peace proposal, which involved a ceasefire along the present front line and future referenda in the disputed territories under United Nations supervision. Now, that is at present totally unacceptable to the Ukrainians, but it does seem to have that proposal the support of a very large part of the world. And what these remarks of Simonyan suggest is that, you know, the Putin administration does now, I mean, if they are to be read as a signal from the Kremlin, they would indicate that the Kremlin does now fully accept that its objectives, you know, when it launched the invasion of subjugating the whole of Ukraine or breaking off large bits of Ukraine, that these goals are over, that they cannot now be achieved, and that it would be better for Russia to settle for what it has now. Of course, at present, that is quite unacceptable to Ukraine and most of the Biden administration. But you know, if, on the other hand, the Ukrainian offensive fails, and either you have a stalemate along present lines, or you have new Russian advances, then, of course, by, you know, towards the end of this year, things might look very different, because undoubtedly you will have, you know, more voices in the US Congress, in Europe, even perhaps in private in Ukraine, to judge by some of my conversations, who would say, look, you know, we cannot go on and on throwing away tens or hundreds of thousands of lives and giving massive aid and, you know, staying in a situation where Ukraine cannot, in fact, carry out economic reform and progress towards the European Union with no realistic prospect of Ukrainian victory. Of course, others will then revive the idea, which former Secretary General of NATO, Rasmussen, has just raised, that at that point we should send, or some NATO countries should send, NATO troops. Interestingly, he didn't say he's a Dane. He didn't say that that Denmark would send any troops. He talked about Finland. He talked about Poland. But this, of course, is something which, with the possible exception of the Poles, all other NATO governments, including the Biden administration, even the British, have said categorically they do not want to do. They will not do it. They will not send NATO troops to Ukraine. So that would open up a very interesting debate.
You mentioned Secretary of State Blinken remarking Potemkin peace, to avoid a Potemkin peace. And you mentioned Jens Stoltenberg, the Secretary General of NATO, speaking of Ukraine's future. I believe Mr. Stoltenberg also mentioned the possibility of expediting Ukraine's access to NATO, joining NATO, or in some fashion a subset of NATO. Does that describe a future that's credible? Potemkin peace, no, but with the NATO trigger in Russia's face.
Well, I mean, as I mentioned about Rasmussen, the former NATO Secretary General, the only thing more certain than that Danish troops will never be sent to fight Russia in Ukraine is that Norwegian troops will not be sent to fight. You might send the Dutch in order to surrender. The point is that all these, European NATO creatures, if they went to their own domestic populations and said, you must send, you know, Danish and Norwegian and Dutch kids to fight in Ukraine, they would be laughed out of court. There's absolutely no chance of that. So what they're really trying to do is either to let the Poles do it, because they reckon that the Poles are completely crazy anyway and crazy enough to do that, or, of course, to get the Americans involved while the Europeans, you know, stay peacefully at home. That is a prospect which I think might be quite seriously unpopular in the US Congress, because the point is, of course, that if NATO soldiers will not, in fact, fight to defend Ukraine, then what is NATO membership for? Article 5 becomes meaningless. If you're talking about giving military aid to Ukraine and modern weaponry, well, we're doing that already on a massive scale. So I think there is a great deal of theatrics here, frankly. The problem is that if you are thinking at some stage about the possibility eventually, not of ceasefire, but of an actual negotiated peace, then giving up NATO membership, which frankly is meaningless anyway, would be a way of giving a Russian government, what has been called in diplomacy, a golden bridge, to claim some kind of diplomatic success, which would then allow Russia, to make concessions on the ground. And of course, by taking Ukraine into NATO, you haven't actually strengthened NATO's Ukraine's defense, but you've torn up that possibility. As for Blinken's remarks about a Potemkin peace, well, every ceasefire is like that, frankly, that doesn't lead immediately to a formal peace settlement. You have a Potemkin peace in Kashmir, you have one in Cyprus, but there is still a big difference between a ceasefire, which doesn't solve the underlying issues, but which does end major fighting, and a full-scale war in which, so far it seems, at least 100,000 people have died in 1 year. That's a big difference, and one that, I think it's probably easy enough for Mr. Blinken to ignore that, because, of course, he's not going to die, nor is anyone he knows.
Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute, there's trouble in the Western Balkans. We need to get there right away. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bell.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com. That's AbilityChiro.com.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.